Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 111 are Eric Anderson.
Hey, everybody.
James Cameron.
Hello, everybody.
And Norm Hayden.
Hey, everybody.
Now, tonight we're going to be concluding our Munch Madness series that we've been running all summer. We're going to have taken the table service dining tournament down from 71 table service restaurants down to the single favorite Diz Dad's restaurant tonight. And we'll be starting with our Epicurean 8, the 8 that survived last week. And so, guys, we've been through this before. Anybody have any questions before we start running through the championship rounds here?
Nope. All set.
Now let's do it.
All right. So let's jump right in. Epicurean 8, the first matchup here, one of my favorite matchups, I think, of this entire round, is number 8, Artist Point, matching up against number 3, Narcoossee's. And I think I'll let Norm kind of give us an intro to this matchup.
Well, in this foodie division, and probably for all the divisions, I don't think we're really talking about an issue with the food quality at this point. I think most of these restaurants are going to be pretty much on par. So maybe we kind of have to look at them from the menu or from the experience point of view. And Artist Point, as we've mentioned, over in the Wilderness Lodge, signature restaurant, beautiful resort, beautiful lodge, great Northwestern menu, salmon, bison. Narcoossee's, located in the Grand Floridian, does wonderful seafood, very romantic setting. So I really think it's just a matter of, for at least for me in this point, it's a matter of which menu of the two that I like the better. And since my favorite, Fulton's, was knocked out early on, I like the seafood realm, so I'm going to go with Narcoossee's in this matchup.
Okay, well, James, go ahead and give us your sense of the Narcoossee's versus Artist Point matchup here.
Like Norm was saying, I think it pretty much comes down to are you a seafood person or not? I think Narcoossee's is more that, you know, when I look at their menu, it seems to emphasize the seafood more. Artist Point, on the other hand, is more of the turf. And for me, although I think I would have gone Narcoossee's, you know, a year or two ago, right now, for some reason, I'm leaning towards Artist Point. Something about the Wilderness Lodge and the theming there, I think, just gives it the edge.
I feel very similarly. I mean, I think that part of it for me is when I'm looking at these signature dining experiences of Walt Disney World, one of the things I'm asking myself is, you know, which of these is the experience that I can't get somewhere else? And Narcoossee's does great food, but I can get really good food that is a similar menu, that's a similar sort of traditional fine dining restaurant, you know, here around town. I can't get that atmosphere in the Wilderness Lodge. That doesn't transport so well. And the menu at Artist Point does such a nice job of tracking that theme all the way through. Really, you know, it's a truly immersive dining experience. And so that, I have to agree, I'm kind of leaning that way myself. How about you, Eric?
I'll agree that the theming at the Wilderness Lodge is fantastic, and it is carried through very well at Artist Point. But, you know, you're saying that you can get good food wherever, but can you get a view of wishes right outside? Can you get the, as Norm's talked about, the boat ride over from Magic Kingdom to Grand Floridian elsewhere? And really, for me, the thing that puts Narcoossee's above Artist Point is in a couple of realms, actually, because number one, I think the service at Narcoossee's has been consistently a lot better for me than the service at Artist Point. And I just think that the experience at dinner there is kind of a cut above. These two came through the foodie division, so you're expecting them to have, you know, pretty high production value. And I just think the production value at Narcoossee's is better, even though, you know, it doesn't have that same consistent theme
as Wilderness Lodge and Artist Point has. It has the theme of a great dining experience.
Okay. All right, so we've heard some of the arguments, and you know, we've had people lean in one way or the other. Let's go ahead and take a vote. So, Eric, what's your vote?
Going to go with Narcoossee's.
Norm?
Narcoossee's as well.
James?
I'm going with Artist Point.
All right, I was leaning towards Artist Point, but I have to say that Eric's comments on the service and the meal experience piece has swayed me. I'm going to change my initial vote, and I'm going to agree with Narcoossee's. And Narcoossee's is going to advance, taking Artist Point out.
And Aaron, if you swing through Kentucky, we've got lots of state lodges, not quite as beautiful as the Wilderness Lodge, but we've got bison and boar and ostrich and all sorts of crazy things on the menu. So come on down and we'll hook you up. We don't have them big red crawdads here. So, but come on down and we'll hook you up.
All right. I'll look forward to that at some point. All right. So our next matchup is a little more diverse really, in terms of, you know, very different kinds of restaurants. We've got from the Resorts and Downtown Disney division, number 5, Raglan Road from Downtown Disney, against number 2, Kona Cafe at the Polynesian. Eric, why don't you give us the introduction to this matchup?
Sure. Kona Cafe is one of the triple threat restaurants at Disney. They serve all three meals. So get a good breakfast there. They're famous for the Tonga Toast, of course. You can also get lunch and dinner. They have sort of a Asian by way of Hawaii theme to some of their food. You know, you got the teriyaki sauces, and you also have sushi, which is it makes it a nice and relatively inexpensive place to get sushi at Walt Disney World, which can be hard to find. Raglan Road is your Irish pub experience over at Downtown Disney. In addition to meals from the old sod, you've also got Irish dancing as by way of entertainment in the evenings, and of course Guinness on tap. So, and for some people that ends the debate right there, but. but Kona Cafe also has a variety of alcoholic beverages that you can get, including, as Norm has reminded us on several occasions, the Lapu Lapu from
Tambu Lounge across the way.
From the Tambu Lounge right next door.
Okay. James, anything you feel like needs to be added about either of these restaurants?
I ate at Raglan Road once a very long time ago, and you know, I had to actually go back and ask my wife if I had ever eaten there. It just didn't impress itself upon my memory. It's just, I had to go and ask her, and she's like, "Yeah, we did eat there once." And I was like, "Oh, okay." It's for me, it just didn't stick. And I've only had breakfast at Kona Cafe, but that's something I'll never forget. That really stands out in my mind. I mean, yes, it was more recent, but you know that breakfast, you know, really stood out to me. And this, you know, the service at Kona, I think was better than I can remember Raglan Road being. And so for me, it's kind of clear cut that I'd go with Kona here.
Okay, and Norm, how about you? Anything you feel like you need to add?
Just for me, I love beer. My favorite drink. I love beer. And one thing I like better than beer, draft beer. So having Guinness on draft, even better. But one better thing on vacation, as Eric mentioned, is drinking out of a daggum pineapple. I tell you what, you know, nobody can top that. So it's Kona all the way for me, baby.
All right. You know, in some ways it surprises me that Raglan Road has done so well. I think that the nice tap menu helps them a lot. I think that their food is sort of that down-home it's Irish food, but it's hearty food, I guess, is the way I would put it. And I think that that kind of hits the wheelhouse of Diz Dads. But for me, there are a couple of things about Kona that really stand out. One at breakfast and one at dinner. At breakfast, you've got Kona coffee available, and it's really worth the difference. It's worth the extra price. It's worth paying for it out of pocket, even if you're on the dining plan for everything else. Really good coffee is hard to find. It's even harder to find at Disney World. And Kona is terrific coffee. The other thing that stands out is at dinner, the sushi menu that Eric mentioned has really added a dimension to that menu. I was not a fan of the dinner menu there previously, but you know, having an option that kind of elevates that menu, takes it to another level, makes a big difference. And again, it's one of those things that you can find at other places at Disney World, but it's hard to find good sushi, and it's even harder to find good sushi that's not really expensive in a signature restaurant. And so this is a nice place to get good sushi in a regular single, you know, one credit restaurant. I still don't love the atmosphere at Kona. I think Raglan Road probably, in terms of atmosphere, you know, it's a fun atmosphere at least. I think that for me at least, my experience at Kona is it tends to be kind of loud. It kind of feels a little bit like you're, you know, hanging out in the lobby there at the Polynesian. But the food really does take it to another level. So I'm going to go ahead and cast my vote for Kona. We'll go around and do the rest of the votes. Eric?
Yeah, for me, it comes down to, I think, the sushi at Kona, just like you were saying. And like you, I'm not crazy about the atmosphere so much, but yeah, just having the sushi there, having it inexpensive, relatively speaking, and good, it really puts it over the top for me. Okay. So Kona.
James?
I liked your point about the coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker, nor am I a beer drinker anymore. But, you know, my wife says that you can't beat the coffee at Kona. So it's worth it just for that alone. My vote's for Kona.
And Norm?
Maybe I'll try to order the Lapu Lapu with the Kona coffee next time I have for breakfast over there. It might be a interesting combination. So, yes, I'm voting Kona.
All right. So Kona advances with a clean sweep. And we move to the opposite side of the bracket for a matchup between, and this one is a much anticipated matchup, number one, Tusker House from the Animal Kingdom theme park against Ohana in, again, the Polynesian. We've got a character meal for breakfast and lunch at Tusker House. It's a buffet meal. It also serves dinner, but it's not a character meal at dinner. And dinner hours, it's you know, it's an Animal Kingdom issue, right? The restaurant or the park closes early, so the restaurant often isn't open late. Ohana does not serve lunch. It's a character breakfast served family style at breakfast. And then in the evening, it is a meatitaria, sort of, I think is one way to put it. You know, it's the strolling meat on sticks. They've also got, you know, salad and noodles and some vegetables that come around and lots of really good shrimp. In some ways similar, some ways very different restaurants. Let's start with James this time. James, anything you want to mention in particular about either of these restaurants to maybe pull some people your direction?
I've only ever had breakfast at both of these, but these are two of my top, you know, breakfast places in all of Walt Disney World. And I'm looking forward to having dinner at Ohana. I've heard it's awesome. And I'm looking at the menu. If they deliver on dinner the way they deliver with breakfast, then I'm leaning towards Ohana in this matchup. I think it's a toss-up at breakfast, but I think if based on the menus I'm looking at, it would be, yeah, like the family side, like sitting for dinner. I don't like to get up and be going back and forth to a buffet. It's okay for breakfast, but for some reason that doesn't work as well with me for dinner. I think if they deliver the atmosphere at Ohana is got a slight edge to it, and if the dinner is anything like I've heard it is, then that's going to get my vote.
Norm, anything you want to add?
Yes, the Ohana and Tusker House both have, for at least for breakfast, a similar juice. Ohana has the, I believe it's called the Lilikoi juice, and Tusker House has the Pog juice. But I don't know if there's a lot of flavor difference. They've got passion fruit and some of the same makeup in there, but I think they have different names, so I'm assuming there's maybe a little bit different. Both very good juices, though. I would order those anywhere I could go. Those are great. The other thing, I guess, the couple of the splitters for me, Ohana has Lilo and Stitch, and while I like Lilo and Stitch lives in my mailbox, as some of you may know, but Tusker House also has Donald, and, you know, you don't get to see Donald very often. So, you know, I'm a classic Disney guy, so I like my Donald. And I guess the third point that I'll bring up is that Tusker House sits next to my favorite ride, or one of my favorite rides, but definitely my favorite ride at Animal Kingdom, which is the Kilimanjaro Safari ride. I think I've mentioned this before, grabbing that 8 o'clock breakfast reservation, walking right out the restaurant when you're done at 9 o'clock, standing right there to be first in line to ride the safari ride and seeing the herd of people charging you. It's quite an experience if you've never seen that before, but then to know, haha, I'm first and you're not, that it also feels good too. So, okay. That's my matchup of those two.
All right. Eric, how about you? Anything else?
I'm just going to say that these are both ones that my family does basically on every family vacation we take to Walt Disney World. These have been recurring restaurants. I do like the, ability to get in early to the Animal Kingdom, having breakfast at Tusker House. On the other hand, you know, you can get your recommended yearly allowance of protein at Ohana with one dinner if you work at it a little bit. And I don't know, just for me, I think the variety at Tusker House may win out. There have been times at Ohana when all that delicious grilled meat comes out a little bit too grilled. So, and if the kitchen's working like that one night, then it can really put a damper on things. But with Tusker House, you just have a lot more in terms of choices. So that's where my lean is right now.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and go around and take some votes. I'm going to go ahead and let Norm start.
Yeah, I love the Polynesian, but I'm going with Tusker House on this one.
Okay, that's one vote for Tusker House. James, how about you?
I know Tusker House, like Eric said, has more variety, but I'm a simple guy. I like less choices done well, and for me, that's Ohana.
All right. So we've got one for Ohana, one for Tusker House. Eric, how about you?
I'm going to have to go with Tusker House on this one. I just think the variety, and you know, also I love having lunch there as well. So, and Ohana has no lunch. So there's a little bit of flexibility there to get a really good meal in the middle of the day, which is not always possible at Walt Disney World, depending on where you are. So, yeah, Tusker House for me, too.
Okay. So we've got one vote for Ohana, two for Tusker House. I'm going to vote for Ohana. I think what pushes it over the edge for me is that on top of everything else we've talked about, Ohana, it just really lends itself well because of the way the restaurant is laid out to you know, group meals, and some of my most fun Disney World dining memories are, you know, sitting around a big table at Ohana, you know, sharing that meal with a large group of people, really hard to beat. And I think it's difficult to enjoy that kind of a meal when you're doing a character buffet and you have to keep getting up and, you know, somebody always needs something and you're running rounds. You know, even at breakfast at Ohana, because it's served family style, you don't have that looking over your shoulder to make sure you don't miss it when Mickey comes out, that kind of thing. So I'm going to cast my vote for Ohana. That gives us a 2-2 tie, which means that we toss it to the voting on the blog. And this week on the blog, Ohana came in with 24 votes, Tusker House with 9 votes. And so Ohana pulls off the 3-1 upset and advances to our Flavorful Four, we'll call it. So now we have the last of the Epicurean 8 matchups. And this pits number 1, Via Napoli, against number 3, Hacienda de San Angel. James, why don't you tell us a little bit about this matchup?
We got Via Napoli, which is the one of the two restaurants in Italy. It specializes in the pizza. I think the pizza is a star, and they support their pizza with some solid Italian options. I'm sure it's been mentioned many times how they import the ingredients for their pizza, so it's not using Florida water. So it's not, you know, pizza that you'd find at any other place in Florida. You know, so no matter where you're from, you're getting, you know, pretty authentic Italian pizza, even though in Italy itself, you know, pizza can vary from region to region, as well.
Sure.
And it's and you got those, you know, those brick, the big brick ovens with the three faces on it. It's a large open dining experience with high ceilings. It can get a little noisy. And you can basically, you know, but it's very spacious. The two times I've eaten there, the first time I thought it was spectacular. Pizza was, in my opinion, was the best pizza that I probably ever had. The second time, which was just on our trip, not even 2 weeks ago, I found the pizza was a little not as good as we had it that one time, but it was still great.
Okay.
It wasn't like I remembered it. You know, the crust wasn't as crisp. It was a little soft. You know, but I still found myself walking out saying that, you know, we got to go back. I can't wait to go back there again. Hacienda de San Angel. We ate there on a whim the trip before this past one, and it was great. I was very impressed. I had low expectations. It was one of those things where we just, you know, like, where can we go to reservation in the next hour?
Okay.
We were staying at Beach Club. We were like, okay, Epcot, you know, World Showcase, where can we eat? And we called up and we found out we could get a table at the Hacienda. So we headed over, and I was very impressed. I thought the food was good, and the restaurant itself is beautiful. The decorations are amazing. I spent a lot of time. You were right there on the water. Of the World Showcase Lagoon, it would be an awesome place to have dinner if you timed your reservation so you're sitting there during illuminations.
Sure.
Especially if you're by the window. But even if you're not, you know, we were near a window, not exactly up against one. I was tearing my view like from the lagoon and watching the boats, but I could also see out and on people strolling by on, you know, just outside the Mexican Pavilion, and just looking at all the Mexican art and the chandeliers and things that they had inside, the atmosphere was really good. It's very similar to Via Napoli in the high ceilings and spaciousness of the restaurant, but the big difference in the atmosphere, I think, is you're out in front of the Mexican Pavilion, right on the water, whereas in Italy, you know, Via Napoli, you're all the way in the back. There's, you know, everything's inside. There's nothing to look at, you know, besides what's in the restaurant. So for me, it this one was a lot closer. I, you know, when I first looked at it, I thought Via Napoli all the way. And as I'm looking at the different things we're considering, you know, at the service quality and the atmosphere, it's like, you know, it almost became a toss up
right.
For me, as it was a lot tighter than I thought it would be. But I think overall what it came down to for me is the value. Of Via Napoli, the ability to get that large pizza and just share it with my family. At this point, like, maybe when my kids are older, they're very young right now, 6 and 2. But so when they're older, maybe things will change. But right now, the value is with Via Napoli, and I think that puts it over the top for me.
Okay, Eric, how about you?
For me, I think it's another one of these experiential things. I've been in Via Napoli. I like it. But it's, you know, kind of loud, boisterous. It feels crowded even when there are empty tables around.
Okay.
Hacienda is, well, it's more like, you know, kind of sitting down in somebody's house, in the evenings, at least. You know, you come in, you sit down, you've got these, either these nice, you know, booths that kind of, you know, surround you and make things a lot calmer than you'd see in Via Napoli, or they've got things arranged so that it's not that sort of bustle that you get at Via Napoli. So just on the basis of that, for me, Hacienda is an easier place to eat. It's less stressful, the margaritas help a lot with that as well.
Always helpful. Always helpful. How about you, Norm?
Yeah, not too much to add. Of course, both are in Epcot. Maybe not too big of a surprise there. For me, personally, when I look at these two, we have a, here in Kentucky, of course, but we also have in our town here a immigrant from Mexico, first generation, who set up and has opened three Mexican restaurants here. And, you know, it's the most authentic Mexican that I've eaten in any of my travels. Very spicy, very flavorful. So where else can I get a good pizza, though? So, I mean, for me, I look at that, I can say I have this in my hometown, but what I don't have in my hometown, of course, we've got Little Caesars and all those other good pizza places, but, you know, Via Napoli rings true for me. So I think in this matchup, for me, it's the pizza.
Okay. All right. So I don't have a whole lot to add here. I think that really, in a lot of ways, we've got two restaurants that both serve very good food, to excellent food, depending. You know, everybody has an off day. I think the big difference is the atmosphere, and it's a question of whether you prefer the sort of, you know, more boisterous atmosphere of Via Napoli, the sort of more communal dining feel of Via Napoli, versus what I would probably describe as a more intimate feel at La Hacienda, as Eric has described it. You know, the booths and the way the restaurant is arranged kind of, you know, focusing inward a little bit more as opposed to Via Napoli, which really kind of, you know, draws your attention out. And so let's go around and take some votes and see where we are. Eric, you're up first.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Hacienda de San Angel.
Okay. And Norm?
Via Napoli.
And James?
Via Napoli.
Two votes for Via Napoli, one vote for Hacienda. I'm going to go ahead and cast a vote for La Hacienda, and that gives us a 2-2 tie again. And that my vote is primarily reflecting the preference in, for me, a theme park restaurant like that. When I go into a theme park restaurant for a sit-down meal, I'm looking to escape a little bit from the hustle and bustle of the park. And I think that Via Napoli sort of emphasizes that hustle and bustle a little bit, while Hacienda kind of draws it down a little bit. And so that's why I'm leaning in that direction. Gives the 2-2 tie, which throws it back to the blog voters again. And when we go to the blog voters, we get Via Napoli coming out handily ahead. Via Napoli with 22 votes, La Hacienda with 9 votes out of 31 votes cast. And so Via Napoli advances to our flavorful four. I'll keep coming up with Fs. All right. And we're going to go ahead and continue whittling down the tournament and go back across to the other side of the bracket for our first semifinal matchup. And at this point, obviously, we've talked about each of these restaurants, so I'm just going to go ahead and go around and ask people for their votes. You can add a, you know, kind of narrative or story you feel is necessary to support that vote as we go around. We have the number 2 seed from Resorts in Downtown Disney versus the number 3 seed in the foodie division in our final, or in this semifinal. That's number 2 Kona Cafe against number 3 Narcoossee's. And Norm, you're up first.
Well, this is a really tricky one for me, because I love Narcoossee's because of the signature dining, because of the lobster, because that's those things that I just cannot. Well, I can have a red lobster here, but let's be honest, that's probably not a very good comparison. Okay. On the other hand, I've been to Kona many times, multiple, you know, breakfast and lunch and dinner, Tonga toast with the little strawberry side that they have with that, the Kona Coffee, the Lapu for dinner. Oh my goodness, these are two really challenging picks for me, one in the Grand Floridian, one in the Polynesian. I'm going to have to vote for Narcoossee's because of the overall experience and because of the seafood. My pick.
Okay. That's one vote for Narcoossee's. James, how about you?
It's tough. If I keep my family in mind, I think I'm going to Kona Cafe, but Narcoossee's, the experience that we've talked about of that fine dining, right outside the Magic Kingdom, you could step right outside, or maybe, you got a table over the window, watch Wishes. I've never done that at Narcoossee's, but I've done it, California Grill, and that adds something. There's something to be said for that. I think I got to go with Narcoossee's here.
Okay. So we've got two votes for Narcoossee's. Eric, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going to agree. If somebody said, hey, you could either eat at Kona or you could eat at Narcoossee's, I'm going to pick Narcoossee's, I think, 10 times out of 10. So it's Narcoossee's for me, too.
All right. Well, obviously, Narcoossee's is going to advance because that's three votes. I'm going to go ahead and, cast my meaningless vote for Kona Cafe. And it really is being cast for a couple of reasons. One is, Eric just mentioned, somebody offers, well, you want to eat at Narcoossee's, you want to eat it at Kona Cafe, and 10 times out of 10, you could choose Narcoossee's. Well, that would be great as long as they're only asking you afternoon. For me, they both offer excellent dining experiences. Narcoossee's dining experience is limited. It's only a fine dining dinner. And, Kona Cafe offers a fantastic breakfast and a very good dinner. And I think that combination for me would have allowed it to advance. But Narcoossee's makes our final, and Narcoossee's will be facing either number three, Ohana, or number one, Viennapoli. James, I'm going to let you start with number three, Ohana, versus number one, Viennapoli. Cast your vote. Give it a little defense if you'd like.
These are two restaurants that would, an ideal day at Disney for me would be starting with at Ohana, hitting the parks and having dinner at Viennapoli. So this is a tough one for me. What you just mentioned about the fact that you can, the versatility of Kona in that last matchup, Ohana has a little bit of an edge in versatility of having the breakfast option, World Showcase not even being open at that time of day. I think I'm going to go with Ohana on this one. I think the characters, having the ability to have a character breakfast, the Polynesian style dinner that I'm really looking forward to, less hectic than Viennapoli, even though I love it. I think that's going to win out. It's Ohana for me.
Okay. So we've got a vote for Ohana. How about you, Eric?
These are two, I think, very, very different restaurants. I think the one thing that they do have in common is that they can both be kind of boisterous. And we've already talked about how that's not my favorite way to enjoy a meal, but...
But now you're stuck choosing between two boisterous places, so...
Given that they kind of cancel each other out on that note, I'm going to have to give it to Ohana, I think. I think for the sort of variety, like James was saying, across the course of the day, you've got, a character breakfast in the morning, you've got mini Hawaiian cultural extravaganza in the evening, and also, drinks and pineapples. So I'm going to take Ohana on this one.
Okay, so we have two votes for Ohana. And Norm, how about you?
And another very challenging choice for me. I don't know if the Italians ever invaded the Polynesians. Perhaps perhaps we can start a new little conflict with this one. So, on the one hand, we've probably been to Ohana more than we've been to Via Napoli, simply because Via Napoli is a newer restaurant. And I know my wife and I, on our honeymoon, we ate at Kona, and I absolutely loved it for dinner. And I can't believe I had to pick Narcusi's over it the last time. So now I have another Polynesian restaurant ready to go for me. But I might be the lone cast vote on this one. I'm going to stick with Via Napoli. And while I love the pog juice, while I love the meat, while I love the dinner, while I love the drinks, while I love the Polynesian, you know, there's just something about really good pizza at the parks. Just a nice way to relax and as you're touring the park. So for me, I'm going to vote Via Napoli on this one.
Okay. Two votes for Ohana, one for Via Napoli. I'm going to cast my vote for Ohana, and Ohana will advance to the final. I think that, you know, despite the fact that the food at Ohana can occasionally be a little uneven, you know, I think we're starting to hear the same thing about Via Napoli. I think that although Via Napoli does deliver, for the most part, a consistently good product, I think it's regressing a little bit back to the mean. In terms of, you know, it's now been open for a couple of years. And, you know, occasionally they have a not great day. And that happens. So, and we've talked about that with this tournament since early on. So, I think ultimately what it comes down to for me is it's that versatility at Ohana. It's a fantastic character meal. And, you know, I have a hard time going away from all-you-can-eat grilled shrimp. So Ohana advances, and we have a very interesting matchup in our championship round here now, because the championship round, first of all, features two number three seeds. None of the one or two seeds made it all the way to the end. We have number three Narcusi's advancing out of the foodie and resorts in Downtown Disney side of the bracket, against Ohana coming from the dinner and a show and theme park side of the bracket. And we've got two restaurants that are sort of next to each other on the monorail line there, right along the Seven Seas Lagoon. And I'm going to throw this to Eric to kind of describe the matchup for us a little bit and, you know, explain why he is going to vote the way he wants to vote here.
Yeah, for me, it's going to come down to what you're getting out of the restaurant. And again, we've talked about my aversion to overly boisterous restaurants. And Narcusi's, except for the one time when there was a guy directly below us talking on his cell phone at roughly 90 decibels. Narcusi's has been a very relaxed, quiet atmosphere every time I've been there. Ohana, you've got people up and running around, people hula dancing. And, you know, for me, the food at Narcusi's is just better. We got, you know, Ohana's open for two meals versus Narcusi's one, but that is a really good one meal. So I'm going to go with Narcusi's.
Okay. So that's one vote for Narcusi's. James, how about you?
All right. On our last trip, you know, I mentioned before how I ended up, you know, touring Celebration Hospital. That next morning, we were supposed to eat breakfast at Ohana. We ended up missing it because I didn't get out in time. And then we left and we went to Vero Beach for a few days. And instead of going home like we originally planned, we went out of our way to get a reservation for breakfast at Ohana and spent, you know, the morning over there having breakfast and hit the road later in the day. I don't think I would have done that for a meal at Narcusi's. And there's something that sticks out in my mind right now, even though like Eric said, the food, I know I'm getting a better meal at Narcoossee's. I know the service is going to be better. I like the atmosphere at Ohana. I think it's got, you know, I don't mind the hecticness. I think it's a focused, unlike Via Napoli we were talking before, where like you're constantly being drawn with everything, all the bustle around you. It's, you know, when I'm at Ohana with my family, you know, it's a focused hecticness, and I'm giving it Ohana just for, you know, we went out of our way to get in that meal at Ohana that we missed. Okay. I wouldn't have done that for Narcoossee's.
Okay. So we've got one vote for Narcoossee's, one vote for Ohana, and Norm, how about you?
Well, listen, as James and Eric both mentioned, I think this has been a really fun final podcast for me, because this isn't you're voting against a restaurant more that you're voting for a restaurant. So I think all of these are great choices, and we're really coming down to the final one or two. For me, go ahead, Aaron.
Well, I was just going to say, it's got to be difficult for you because, you know, you're having your lapu-lapu pitted against your lobster.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a very tough matchup, and they're in two wonderful resort locations, both with views of wishes, both on the monorail line. So, I mean, there's a lot of similarities. Even with the family style, you're still being served as opposed to having to get up to do the buffet. So I guess what's going to come down to me for this one, and I like what James said when he came with, would I have come back for Vero to eat at Ohana? Or he would have come back to eat at Ohana, but he would not have come back to eat at Narcoossee's. For me, it was just one of those special meals. When I look for an overall dining experience, it's the food, it's the atmosphere, it's the location. And for me, I would come back for that meal at Narcoossee's. And I think maybe the quiet environment has a little bit to do with it, but I think the overwhelming food quality does as well for me. So with that one, and also, and again, we have to pick on whoever did the seating for this silly tournament. Who could that be?
What a moron.
And amazing how these number three seeds made it somehow. When I did my top five restaurants at Walt Disney World, Fulton's, California Grill, Gico, you love this one, ESPN Club, and Narcoossee's are my top five.
Okay.
So of those top five that are left, Narcoossee's is left. So for that reason, I cast my final vote for Narcoossee's.
All right. So you've got two votes for Narcoossee's, one for Ohana. It's my turn to vote. And look what's going to happen here. We're going to get stuck in a tie. As much as I agree that Narcoossee's does fine dining tremendously well, and it probably deserves being here in this final, for me, you know, dining at Walt Disney World, what makes it different and unique and special is that it's a family dining experience that we all enjoy together. And from that perspective, my kids really love being at Ohana. It's really the only character meal at Walt Disney World that it's worth us doing, because Stitch is the only costumed character that my son will go anywhere near. I don't know why. He can't explain it to you either. But he sees Stitch and his eyes light up. And he'll go and throw his arms around him in a huge hug. Other characters, you know, he hides behind me and peeks. He wouldn't even shake Mickey's hand. But it's a character meal that we can enjoy as a family because, you know, when we go to the princess meals, he's sticking his tongue out at the princesses. There's pictures of that. The other ones, he's cowering under the table. This is the only one he really enjoys. And I've mentioned in the past podcast about this, that Ohana really did a tremendous job at breakfast accommodating our sort of unique food needs, since my wife and kids don't eat pork or shellfish. You know, they brought out substitutions for them. They went the extra mile. You know, they knew they had a turkey sausage or a chicken sausage, I forget which one. But then he went back and double-checked with the chef and found out that, yeah, it's a chicken sausage, but it's in a pork casing. It would have been easy to serve it to him. It's not like they're allergic. My wife and kids keep kosher style, and so they avoid pork and shellfish. They really appreciated that they took the extra step of making that inquiry with the chef, finding out and making sure that they didn't serve them what they didn't want to eat. And all-you-can-eat shrimp with a lapu-lapu, kind of unbeatable. So I'm going to vote for Ohana. That gives us a 2-2 tie. Now, we haven't done an online poll for this yet. So how do we resolve this tie? I'm going to make a suggestion here. I think we need to do a live show on the 18th. So let's say a live show on Sunday the 18th. We'll do it at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time so that it's not too late for the East Coast people. Right? So 8 o'clock Central, that'll make it 9 o'clock Eastern. And we'll wrap up the dining series with it. We'll get a vote on a final and also just spend the rest of the live show talking Disney dining, people's reactions to the tournament, surprises, all those kinds of things. And we'll be taking calls and getting everybody involved in the discussion. How's that sound?
Or we could just declare Fulton's the winner and just move forward.
Remember that plank I suggested?
I think it's a good idea, Aaron. I think it's that'll work for me.
You know, I just keep waiting for Flying Fish to run in here with a chair and like hit somebody over the back of his head.
Then I'll have to
for a wrestling style.
Yeah, I have to break out my, you know, if you smell what the Rock is cooking and all those good sayings.
All right, so I think we got to go here. So everybody, put it on your calendar. Plan on joining us on Sunday, August 18th at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern. We'll figure out who the final winner is of the Munch Madness Tournament and enjoy talking some Disney dining for, you know, an hour or so live. We'll be taking calls, and your involvement will really, you know, wrap this up the way it should, because it's been the involvement of listeners voting all along the way. We've had a lot of restaurants where they advanced in this tournament on the strength of those blog votes. So, you know, you've heard what we think about all these restaurants. You can email us and tell us what you think about them at podcast@dizdads.com. Or you could visit the blog, dizdads.com. You can tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. And you can participate in the discussions on our forums at boards.dizdads.com. But mostly, you can hop online on Sunday, August 18th at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern, and participate. Join us for the live show. We'll get this figured out. Hope to that you're listening then, and hope to hear from you then. Until next time, I've been Aaron Ripmaster with Eric Anderson.
See ya at the live show, folks.
Norm Hayden.
Thanks, everybody.
And James Cameron.
So long, everybody.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.